Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. Shall we just bow in prayer before I start? Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning. We pray that you'll come near to us. We pray the Holy Spirit to enter our hearts. May our hearts be receptive to your word. And Lord Jesus, the word of God, we pray that you'd be with us this day. In your name we pray. Amen. My theme this morning is go, in keeping with the theme for this quarter. Now I'll be referring to the book of Mark and the book of Matthew, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Mark 16, verse 15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20 says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And thank you, Jeanette, for that story that says God is with us always. So, Jesus says, "Go ye therefore." It means that there is something before if he says therefore. And what was that that went before? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In other words, Jesus says, if he is sending us, he is empowering us. What gospel are we to preach? What is the gospel? John 3:16. You all know that verse very well. Could you repeat it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17 goes on to say, do you know that one? "For he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So, what is this good news? The good news that Jesus came to save us from our sins. That's what Matthew says. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Unfortunately, in the world today, people want to be saved in their sins. It's not what God says. He will save us from our sins. This gospel, in Romans 1 verse 16, Paul says that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So, where do we start preaching this gospel? We always hear of the mission fields. We always think of going overseas, just do missionary work. But that's not according to what the Bible says. Jesus said, go to the lost house of Israel. In other words, Jesus says we need to start at home. If we need to send missionaries overseas, we can do that with our money, but we need to start here. Acts 1 verse 18. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, that's local, Judea a little further, and Samaria further still, and unto the uttermost part of the world. That means Australia. And so Jesus gives us a commission. But he started with, all power is given unto me. And with that power, he sends us to do his work. Okay. Now, we have a number of teachers here. Could I see all those who are teachers? Hands up, please. Could I see all parents here, please? Hands up. That's the majority of you in the church. Or I should say the majority of us in the church. Well, what is the best method of teaching? We are to teach by example. Teachers and parents know this. We are to model what we would like to be learned. Okay? What was Jesus' method? What was Jesus' method? Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20, and Matthew 4, verse 18 to 23. Please turn in your Bibles to any one of those sections, please. I'll be reading from Matthew 4, verse 18 to 23. How did Jesus go about doing things? Matthew 4, 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Not fishes, fishers with an R. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Would you leave your livelihood for just anybody? Well, this is what they did. You see, it was not just anybody. It was Jesus, Savior of the world. Paul also says, follow me. Can you finish that? Even as I follow Christ. Don't just follow people. Follow them because they follow Christ. And I'd like to read a little poem here by Edgar Guest. It's entitled, "I'd Rather See a Sermon." I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better teacher, pupil, and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. We've heard the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. And so, we ought to live and not just say. I remember as a young teacher, first year, just started out, and I turned up to school one Monday morning, and I don't know what I said to the students. And they said, "Ah, yeah, but what did you do this weekend, sir?" And I told them, and I said, "Ah, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that." I said, "No, don't do as I do, do as I tell you." Was I correct in doing that? No, I wasn't correct. And I learned that I ought to lead by example. And ever since then, I've endeavored to do that. So, Jesus says we ought to start at home. But you know, the most difficult people to win are whom? Your family. Those nearest and dearest to you. They are the most difficult people to convince or to win to the gospel. Why? Why is it so difficult? Because they know all our faults and our foibles. They know us best. And they try and they'll tell you, "What, you are trying to preach to me when you are like that?" So how do we get through to them? Do we point out their errors? Do we point out their wrongs? I'd like to tell you a little story. It concerns me. When I married Joy, I was Anglican. She was Seventh-day Adventist. Our church held our social gatherings on a Friday night. Joy's social gatherings were on a Saturday night. I asked Joy to come with me. Joy explained that Friday nights being Sabbath, she couldn't come with me. She never argued. She never debated. She steadfastly held her beliefs. All she would say was, and I'm quoting from James 4 verse 7, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." She never nagged. Always remained a loving, caring wife. She lived her faith. Today, as you all see, I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Had she been wishy-washy, I don't know where we would be today. have another story. In the early days of the American Midwest, a Christian wife had an abusive, drunken husband. She had put up with him for years. One night in the bar, he and two of his mates argued about who had the best wife. When they left the bar, they went to the first friend's home. He banged on the door. His wife opened, he walked in, and he asked his wife to prepare them a meal. And she said, "No, everything is there, you can help yourself," and she went to bed. They went to the next friend's house. Same thing happened there. Then they went to his house, banged on the door, "Woman, open up." She opened the door. "Give us a meal." She prepared a meal, presented it to them. They ate. After a while, his two friends left. His wife was busy cleaning up. She had finished. She tidied up. She put things away. He was silent. And then he went up to his wife, fell on his knees, and sobbing, he asked his wife, "Why are you so good to me, seeing that I treat you so badly?" And she said, "Honey, I've got you to treat you the best way I can, give you the best I can here, because I don't know if you're ever going to make it to a better place. So I'll do the best I can for you now. I'll do the best I can for you now." That changed the man's heart. He stopped his drinking. He was a changed man. What had made the difference? What had made the difference? The loving kindness of his wife in spite of his wicked ways. Peter says that people may speak badly of us, but we must always give a reason for the hope that we have in us. The hope of the resurrection. The hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. What should we preach? 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But according to Galatians 1 verses 7 and 8, do not pervert the gospel of Christ, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached, let him be accursed. So, we need to preach the word and the word only. How will we know if they are preaching the truth? How? Isaiah 8 verse 20. I'm sure you all know that text. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I've heard people say, "Ah, the commandments are done away with. Well, that makes Jesus a liar. If the commandments are done away with, Jesus is a liar. But the Bible says there was no deceit in him. No deceit at all. What did Jesus say? Till heaven and earth pass away? What? My words shall not pass away. Who is the word? Jesus. Jesus the same yesterday, today, forever. Same with God the Father. Eternal, from the beginning. Before the beginning. Because we have a beginning. He's never had a beginning. Strange, isn't it? So, unless people speak according to this word, we need to check. What did Paul say? Search the scriptures. Oh no, Jesus. What did Jesus say? Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And we always stop there. That is incorrect. There's a but. But ye will not come to me that ye might be saved. Today we know about Jesus. Do we know Jesus? And when Jesus says to know God, it's the same as when he was talking about Adam knew his wife Eve. That's an intimate relationship with Jesus. Intimate. Where you are never apart. You know, the law and to the testimony. James calls it the perfect law of liberty. Now, a question. If I'm speeding down the road, I get caught. Am I free? Or do I fall under the law? When do I fall under the law? When I'm observing it or when I'm breaking it? Come on, when do I fall under the law? Only when I break it. What does James say? The perfect law of liberty. If I observe the law, I am free. But I can't observe the law on my own. I have to rely on Jesus. And so as I come to Jesus, he covers me with his robe of righteousness. And what does God see? Does God see my sin? No. John 8, verse 12. What does Jesus say? John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In 5 verse 14, Sermon on the Mount. Somehow I've written down the wrong text there. But Jesus says we are the light of the world. Well, he says he is the light of the world. Now he says that we are the light of the world. There's an inconsistency there, isn't there? How can we be the light of the world when he is the light of the world? How? Well, does the moon have light? Oh, it reflects. It's only a reflector. So when Jesus says that we are the light of the world, what are we? We are reflectors. Now it just depends how well we are going to reflect, isn't it? You see, there are times when the moon's light is hidden from us. Why? How does that happen? Pardon?
No direct path to the sun.
Ah, it does not have direct light from the sun. In other words, it is. There are barriers between the moon and the sun. Isn't that right? And so we do not see the light of the moon being reflected. The same applies to us. There are so many things that stop God's light from reflecting through us, from us to the world. We need to make sure that we do not put barriers for his light not to be reflected. My question is, how brightly do we reflect God's light? Is that light constant or is it intermittent? Or is it non-existent? We've been asked to shine for him. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'll ask you a question now. Will good works save us? Are they important? Why? Why are they important? They are important because we are showing the world just what it is to be a Christian. Paul says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless we've been sent? Now, when God sends us, I said that he empowers us. God had a question for Isaiah. God said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? What was Isaiah's response? Here am I, send me. When God asks you, whom shall I send? What is our response? Here am I, send Peter. Is that it? We always want to pass the buck. If God calls you, be quick to respond. Or will your response be like that of Moses? When God calls him, Moses has one excuse after another. Moses has one excuse after another. Well, let's read Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Where was Moses raised? Where was Moses raised? Who was he? He was prince of Egypt. He was supposed to be the next Pharaoh. Do you think he couldn't speak? Maybe he had an excuse. He had been herding sheep for 40 years. All sheep say, "Meh." That's all they do all day. They can't speak. So maybe that's what happened to him. God says to him, "Who put words in your, who made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Whenever God gives you a command, go, he empowers you. But Moses said, no. When God calls you, will you be an Elisha? Here am I, send me. Or you will you be like Moses? Excuse after excuse after excuse. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Shine for Jesus. I'm glad for that song that was up there, "Shine, Jesus, shine," so that we can reflect your glory. Amen.